Mark chapter number 7. And let's begin reading here in verse number 14, if you would. Verse number 14. Look what the Bible says here. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Now get this. I don't want you to miss this. Let this, Jesus told the disciples in one part of the scripture, he said, let this saying sink down into your hearing or into your ears. In other words, let it get down in your heart. Stop and think about what it's saying. Verse 15, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they which defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, of course, Jesus here, he's dealing with traditionalism. He's dealing with the traditions of the Pharisees and the scribes. And they're to eat up with it. The disciples of Jesus came and they sat down to eat and they did not wash their hands. And this tore that crowd all to pieces because they didn't do everything just like they said they ought to do it. And everything, and Jesus rebuked that. And he said, you're teaching for traditions. You're teaching it to be the doctrines of God. You're saying that these are the teachings of God. And there's nowhere in the Word of God that you have to do that. And he goes on into this passage right here. And he begins to give us a very important truth that you and I need to remember. He says here, there's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. In other words, that dirt on the outside and all those things on the outside, that wasn't what was going to determine that man's defilement. That was not what was going to determine that man's eternity, what was going on the outside. I'm going to say this, by the way, friend. When you got saved, if you've been born again and you know you're saved, your flesh is just as rotten and stinking and wicked as it ever has been. Amen. That's exactly right. Your flesh is just as wicked as it ever has been and ever will be. You say, I don't believe that, preacher. Then why don't you tell old man death that? Because you're going to die one of these days because of that very reason. Amen. If your flesh was made whole, if your flesh was made perfect when you got saved, then friend, you'd have no reason to die. You wouldn't have to die. But you're still going to die. And I don't believe anybody would disagree with me about that. You're going to die just as sure as who you are if Jesus don't rapture us up. Amen. But listen to me. This flesh is still just as unsaved and rotten and as wicked as it ever has been. And you and I have got to deal with it appropriately. Amen. Notice what he says now. He says in verse number 16, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man and cannot defile him? In other words, anything that goes from out here to in here is not going to make one bit of difference to the man's soul, to the man's spirit. It's not going to change one thing. He says, verse 19, because it entereth not into his heart. Do you see that? Here comes the issue that we're going to deal with this morning. He said, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. In other words, it's going to go in and it's going to come out. It ain't going to make a bit of difference. Amen. Verse number 20, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Boy, that's an important truth right there that we need to remember. And then we need to ask ourselves, what's coming out of us? Amen. Notice what he said now. That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And of course, he's talking about the natural man. He's not talking about the new man, the new spirit man. He's talking about that old Adamic nature. He's talking about that old man. That old man needs to be saved. That old man needs to be eradicated. That old man needs to die. And God has to create a brand new creature that never was there before. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to say thank you for the message this morning. Thank you for helping us in Sunday school. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to stand and sing the praises of God and for the songs of Zion. Lord, we thank you for what they do in our hearts, for the privilege that you've given me to sing and play with my family. Lord, I know there's many men today that would give anything to be able to do that. Lord, I just want to say thank you. God, you've truly been good to me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this church and this pastor. And Lord, I pray this morning that we could be a help and a blessing to him and to his people. And I pray this morning, Jesus, that they wouldn't see me at all. Oh, God, that they'd see a demonstration of your spirit this morning. God, would you help me to help the people? Lord, I realize this morning that if you don't do it, it won't get done. So, Lord, as much as I know how to do, I want to humble myself. God, I want you to do what's needed here this morning in every heart. We thank you now, and we love you, and we praise you. We ask you, dear Jesus, to give us the guidance and wisdom and direction that we need. Lord Jesus, we surely need you this morning. We thank you, and we love you. We ask all these things now in your precious and your holy name and for your sake. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes we get to looking at the outward so much that we forget about the inward. It's the heart of man is what God is concerned about. It's the heart of man is where Jesus is dealing with right here. You see, these Pharisees, they were so caught up in seeing and looking at what was going on the outside that they were not even concerned what was happening on the inside. I want to say this morning that God is interested in your heart and in my heart. That's what Jesus came to die for. He came because of the sin of all mankind and because of the sin that had so easily doth beset us. Listen to me, friend. Our heart is what God is really aiming for. My Uncle Irvin used to have a saying when I was a boy. I remember him saying it many times. He'd get to the back of the church after he got done preaching. He was my pastor when I was growing up. He's with the Lord now, but he'd stand at the back of the church. And they'd come by and they'd say something like this, "Preacher, you got my toes this morning. You got my toes." And this was always his reply, "Well, I'm sorry, I missed my mark. I was aiming for your heart." Amen. And so I want to say this morning, God is aiming for our hearts. The Lord Jesus is trying to lay down right here and tell these people what really matters to him is their heart. Amen. I want to say this, you probably heard about this, but there's a thing in the Bible. It's the principle of first mentions. And it's no new doctrine or anything like that, but if you want to know the meaning of a word, then you just go to the first place that it's mentioned in the Bible, and generally speaking, you can find a pretty good definition of it. You can most time figure out what it says. Do you know what the first thing that is said about man's heart? I mean the first time in the Word of God when God mentions the heart of man. Do you know what it's in? It's in Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 5. I'm going to read it to you. This is the first mention of man's heart. He said, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart." You catch that? He says right here, the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Notice the statement that he made because this is so important. This verse of scripture tells you and I what he's talking about when he says the heart. He's not talking about that organ that pumps blood. I think we all know that. We all understand that. It's not that organ that's pumping blood all through your body. Although it can be used as an illustration as such. But the fact is, he's not talking about that physical heart that's inside of you. But what he's talking about, he says right here, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. Now think about that statement for just a minute. That tells you and I where the heart is. It's the imagination of our thoughts. I was sitting and studying about this yesterday. And this is how God showed me to explain this to you. My little boy, Jeremiah, right there, the one up here wearing that guitar out a while ago. He was running around the house. I was sitting out on the front porch enjoying the cool breeze and the shade, sitting on the picnic table just praying and studying and studying and praying. And all of a sudden, he popped up out of nowhere, and here he come. And he's just doing something. I don't even know where he was at. All I done, I looked up and I heard this noise, and here he comes. He's going, He didn't even know I was there. You didn't know I was there, did you, Jeremiah? You didn't even see me until just a little bit. He said, he seen me after a little bit. He looked back and went, don't like that. But before he seen me, he was running around there and I seen him do like this. He went, he was doing something. I don't even know where he was at. And God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to my heart. He said, he's using his imagination. He was in a different world. He didn't even know I existed. He had transported himself to another world. He was using his imagination. Now, wait a minute. Where is your heart? What is your heart? Your heart is your world. Now, I'm not talking about your external world. I'm not talking about your house and your family and your church and your people around. No, I'm talking about where you're at, who you are, the very core of your being. That's your heart. It's your imagination. It's the imagination of your thoughts. You see, that's what God called it in Genesis chapter 6. The imagination of their thoughts. And unfortunately, the first time we see the word heart mentioned was in a sinful manner. The heart of man. Amen? So we see where the heart is. The heart is who we are. The heart is the center core of who we are. It's our very seat of our affections or the seat of our desires. It's what makes you like chocolate ice cream. Huh? It's that part of you that desires something and goes there. Amen? So that's the part of you that is your heart, it's your desires, your affections, all of that. It's the imaginations of your thoughts. Now, I'm trying to help you to understand something this morning. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter number 4, verse 23, he says to keep thy heart. He said, for out of it are the issues of life. You see, you ever heard this thing? Well, he got his heart broke or she got her heart broke. It's because who she was got destroyed. Now, literally, physically, who they were didn't get destroyed, but the inside got damaged. The inside got hurt, you see. That person, that desire, those affections got marred. They got messed up, amen. And it hurts when that happens, amen. So I want you to notice with me tonight, or this morning. I preach a lot at night, so I always say tonight. This morning. I want you to notice two things with me this morning. I'm going to bring them out to you. Number one, I want you to notice, what is it that defiles us? Jesus has already said it's not the things on the outside that defile us. But what is it that defiles us? It's our heart. It's our heart. Our heart is what defiles us. It's our heart that God, when He looks at us before we get saved, before we've been born again, it's our heart, it's the very seat of our core. When God looks at that, it's black and it's dirty and it's putrefied and it's full of sin. Why? Because of what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. And they passed it on right on down through all the generations. And now you and I, when we're born into this world, we're born into a natural state of sin. And our heart is dirty and putrefied with sin. I used the illustration yesterday. I talked to Jeremiah. And I took a bottle, a water bottle, and I filled it with water. But before I filled it with water, I put a bunch of dirt in it. I filled that thing up and I put probably about that much dirt in it. And then I filled it up with water and shook it up real good. And I said, Jeremiah, here's your heart. I said, this is our heart before we get saved. I said, when God looks at our heart, I said, this is our very core. This is what's on the inside of us. I said, this thing is black and dirty. I said, would you like to drink this? He said, oh, no. He said, I don't want anything to do with that. I said, Jeremiah, I said, I'll tell you what let's do. I said, let's put this thing under the water and wash it real good. And I took some soap and I washed it real good and then rinsed it off and dried it. I said, how about now? He said, He said, I ain't drinking that. I said, but I washed the outside. I got it looking good on the outside. I said, everything on the outside is good. He said, yeah, but that stuff, that dirt's on the inside. I said, now you're catching it. So in just a little bit, I said, let's do this. I said, let's take the lid off this thing. Let's pour it out. I said, now, and I washed it and cleaned it up and I shut it and I filled it back up with clean water. I said, now this is what God does to us, Jeremiah. I said, when he saves us, now instead of having that old black, dirty, putrefied heart, now God gives us a new heart that you, when you look at it, it's clear and it's clean and it's pure. It's drinkable. Amen. Amen. You see, that's what God does. But before we get saved, before we get born again, that's why we've got to be born again. Amen. This first birth will not do it. This first birth can only produce the sin and the woe and the hatred of sin and the judgment of sin. It can only produce death, if you will. Amen. The heart. That's what Jesus said. He said the heart defiles us. Look at verse 15 and verse 20 with me again. Verse 15 said, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. So it's what comes out of him. Look at verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. It's not what he puts on or what he puts in, but it's what's coming out of him. You see? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I've learned, preacher, that if I just shut my mouth and open my ears long enough, and my granddaddy used to have an old saying. He said, God give you two ears and one mouth, you ought to listen twice as much as you talk. And I say, amen. And I tell my children that all the time. You ask them, I'm telling you, you ought to listen twice as much as you talk. Listen to me. With this tongue, we can do so much damage, amen. But if we'll just stop and listen, you can hear. If you'll stop and listen to what people are really saying, you'll know what's in their hearts. He said, out of the abundance of the heart. What do you talk about all the time? What is it when you get with your family or your friends or your coworkers or wherever you go? What is it that you talk about the most? Is it Jesus? Is it the Lord? Is it your church? Is it your Christian family? Is it your Christian home? Is it the things that God has done for you? Is it the things that God's doing in your life? Are you talking about those things? Or is it the car race? Or is it what was on television last night? Or is it what's going on with the neighbors down the street because they can't control their kids or whatever it might be? What are you talking about? Is it the neighbor's dog that gets you attention? Listen to me. What are we talking about? Whatever's coming out of your mouth started in your heart. Not what goes into the man, it's what comes out of it. Why is that? I'll give you three things why it's why. I'm not speaking in tongues, I'm just trying to get what I'm trying to say out. I don't do that. Notice this with me. The heart of man is what defiles us. Why is that? Why does the heart defile us? Number one, because it's depraved. It's depraved. That word depraved means to be corrupt. It means to be perverted. Amen? Ephesians chapter 4. Look with me over, would you? Just for a moment. Ephesians chapter number 4. Look with me. Turn there if you will. I want you to see this. I want you to read it with me if you will. You don't have to read it out loud. Just I want you to read along so you can see this. In Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 17. I hope you've got there. I thought I had mine marked. And evidently I've moved it or done something with it. Or somebody stole it one. Jeremiah probably got rid of it and tore it out. I bet you anything. I'm just kidding, buddy. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 17. Notice what he said. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You see that? Who being past feeling have given themselves over to unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as this truth is in Jesus, that ye putting off the former conversation of the old man. Now get this. Of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Did you catch that? He says to put off. He says putting off these things. He said here, because they are corrupt, which is corrupt according, it's depraved. Our heart, listen to me, our heart is corrupt. It is depraved. It is deprived, if you will. Our heart is dirty no matter how good we clean up the outside. No matter what we may try to do on the outside to make it all better, no matter what we may put on it to make it all smell better and look better and maybe even act better sometimes, our heart is depraved, it's perverted, it's corrupt before we get saved. That's what he's dealing with here in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And this is why it's so important, because you see, the issue is not you turning over a new leaf or me turning over a new leaf. The issue is not me joining a church or doing better or deciding I'm going to read my Bible more or do more praying or get in the work of God or even get in the ministry. It's not about I'm going to do this, that, or the other for the Lord. But it's what's going on inside of our heart. Our heart is corrupt and depraved, friend. Our heart needs to be changed. And the only way that that can happen is through the Spirit of God borning us into the family of God, through the Word of God, and through the Spirit of God. It's a work of God. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Amen. You see, this world today, they want to turn over a new leaf. And some of them may even go to their earthly, what they call their father. I ain't going to call him father because he ain't. They'll go to him. And they'll slip some money through a hole in the wall. And they'll begin to confess their sins to him. Huh? They'll begin to confess their sins, but I got news for you, friend. Your sins are just exactly where they were at before. You can confess them all day long to a man all you want to, but there ain't a thing in this world that man can do for you. The only thing you can do, listen, the only thing that a man can do is if he's right with God, he can pray for you. That's all he can do. I tell people all the time, if I get the privilege to lead somebody to the Lord, I tell them, I cannot save you. I'll pray for you. I'll pray with you. I'll pray over you. I'll do everything that I can, but I cannot save you. I do not have that power. It is not within me. I don't have it within myself, but it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is depraved. Why is it that our heart defiles us? Number one, it's because it's depraved. It's corrupt. It's perverted. Secondly, in Jeremiah chapter number 17, we see that it's deceitful. Not only is it depraved, but it's deceitful. Look with me. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. In Jeremiah chapter number 17, I'm going to get there in a minute. I thought I had this in Mark 2, but I don't have that in Mark either. Verse number 9, the Bible said, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Now, wait a minute. James Orange didn't say this. This is what the Bible said. This is what God says about your heart. This is what God says about my heart. In and of ourselves, before we get born again, as we are born into this world, and these precious little babies back here, I love them to death. Mine used to be there. And I'm looking for them grandbabies one of these days. Not real soon, but I'm looking for them one of these days. My girls are going, and that's fine. That's fine with me. I got no problem with that. I love babies. I do, as long as they're yours. I don't mind them at all. Somebody said, don't you want nothing? I said, no. I do not want another one. I don't like getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I like my wife getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I laid in the bed, but she woke me up plenty of times. I had to get up and go to work at 5 o'clock. But listen to me. I don't miss those days at all. But as precious as those babies are, I want to tell you something, friend. Every one of us was there one day. But we're all, even though as precious as those little babies are, their hearts are defiled and they're dirty and they're deceitful.
Right.
You say, well, now that little baby would never do that. Okay, let me give you a little test. How many times, mamas, even with these older ones, how many times have you woke up at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning and that baby's going, rah! You know what that is in our language? You better get in here and get me or I'm going to slap tire this thing. Oh, I'm going to kick the slats out of this crib in just a minute and come get you. That's what they're really saying. All right? Now listen to me. What are they doing? They're in there screaming their head off. They're telling you, I'm dying in here. And if you don't get in here, I'm going to have a heart attack. That's what they're saying. But wait a minute. When you get in there, what happens? You know what they do? Hey, I ain't got six and not learned something. That is a lie any way you look at it. They lied to you and told you they was dying back there in the back room. When you went in there, I said, oh, no, I'm okay now that you're here. I'm not dying. I'm okay. Really. Our heart is deceitful above all things. I want to tell you this. Our heart will lie to us. Do you know that? Close your ears, sweetheart. When I was a young boy, I fell in love with this girl. It was before my wife. I didn't marry her, so don't worry. This is the only wife I've ever had and will ever have. But I was just a young boy, teenager. Fell in love with this girl. There was several, two or three girls, I guess. I'm talking about my heart lying to me. I mean, I've had girlfriends. She's the one. She is absolutely, this is it. She's the one. I am in love. Boy, I mean, she's mine. And we go for a while and everything go good. And then over the course of time, just things start changing. But wait a minute. My heart told me back here 6 months ago that she was the one. My heart told me that everything was all right. My heart lied to me. You cannot follow your heart. Your heart. This Bible says, not James Orange, this Bible says that our heart is deceitful. What does that mean? What does deceitful mean? Husbands, if you do something to your wife and you lie to her and you tell her you're somewhere and you're not really there, and you get home and she's found out about it, you know what she's going to say? You've deceived me. I believe the word deceived is a little bit worse than lied. It just sounds worse. I don't know. But our hearts, listen to me, why is our heart, listen, our heart is depraved, our heart is deceitful, it'll lie to us. When you're standing there and the Holy Ghost is dealing with you, the old sleuth will come along and he'll say, everything's okay, you're all right. Your heart will be jumping out of your bed like that. You're trembling. The old devil will come along and say, oh, you got plenty of time. Don't you worry about that. Everything's all right. You just be okay. They'll be done in just a minute. You can get on back out of here and go back to your world and go back to your life and what you're doing. Everything will be all right in just a little bit. Don't worry about it. Your heart says, yeah, yeah, just get me there, get me there. Your heart is deceiving you. Your heart will take you to hell. Your old black, nasty, dirty, wicked heart will take you to hell, friend. Why? Because it's deceitful. It deceives you. You remember Samson, don't you? Wasn't he the one that got his hair cut? What would possess a man to lay his head in a woman's lap and let her cut his hair after she had done had men coming out of her closet? That's the way it happened. You know, was it three times, I think it was? I'm going to remember, and that's dangerous. He looked up, laid his head in her lap, and she called for the men, and they came out of the bedroom, came up from under the bed. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm seeing some woman, say my wife, for instance, and some men come out from under the bed, something's going to happen in my brain. I'm going to say, something ain't right about this. Samson didn't. You know why? His heart deceived him. He was so in love with that woman, Delilah. He was so overtaken with her. His heart deceived him. Our heart is deceitful. It's wicked. Not only is it depraved, why does our heart defile us? It's depraved. It's deceitful. Thirdly, it's dead. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2. We're right there in Ephesians anyway. Well, I was. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. He says, and you hath he quickened. That means to be made alive. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Your heart is dead. What does that mean? Let me just lay it down for you. So you understand. Now, I've studied this, and I'll be glad to search some scriptures for you and try to help you understand it. But every man, woman, boy, and girl that's born into this world is born with this heart or this spirit down inside of them, and it's dead. It's corrupt. It's laying there. And according to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, that spirit will go back to God one day because He's the one that gave it. Look it up. Chapter 12, verse number 8, if I remember right. He said that spirit's going to return back to God. God gives every human being a spirit. Why? Because God desires those to worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. The only way that you and I can communicate with God, the only way that we can have a relationship with God is through the Spirit because He's a spirit. Now, God gives every human being a spirit, but it's dead. That spirit is dead. It's down inside, but it's dead. So what happens when we get saved, when we get born again, when we trust Christ as our Savior, now the Holy Spirit comes and He moves inside and He quickens that spirit, makes it a new spirit, and now our spirit and the Holy Spirit become one. You read Ephesians here. He says, they being twain have become one. Now He lives inside of us. But before that happens, He's dead. Why is it that our spirit defiles us, or our heart defiles us? Because it's dead. It cannot communicate with God until it's quickened, until it's made alive. Amen? It's got to be made alive. That's why that Jesus told Nicodemus over there in John chapter 3, you must be born again. You've got to be born again, Nicodemus. That first birth that you had from your earthly mother and father, He said, that's not going to get you into the gates of glory. He said, that which is of the Spirit is Spirit. He said, that which is of the flesh is the flesh. He divided the two right there. He said, there's a definite division between these two. There's no such thing as straddling the fence. There's no such thing as doing good and doing better and doing this and that and the other. There's no such thing as turning over a new leaf. But friend, it's simply trusting Christ. And it's a work that God does in your heart and in mine, and He quickens that spirit down inside of us, and He makes us a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 I think I broke a button. That's all right. I feel better now. Our heart is what defiles us because it's depraved, because it's deceitful, and because it's dead. Let me give you this second thought, if I could. Notice what he says here. It's also not only defiles us, but listen to me. I'll give you a pretty good picture of woe right now, hadn't I? I mean, we got a pretty dark picture right now, don't we? I won't say here, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, amen? Let me give you some hope this morning. According to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Jesus is our hope. Amen. Listen to me. I'm not hoping I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I just settled that 30-some years ago, probably almost 34 years ago. That was took care of then. I'm not hoping I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But the only hope that I have here this morning, the only hope that I have tonight, the only hope that I'm going to have tomorrow is the fact that Jesus Christ saved my never-dying soul. I want to say, here's the hope. Now, while your heart, listen to me, while our heart is what defiles us, and I think I've proved that through the Scriptures, our heart is what defiles us. Did you know that's the very thing God wants? That's the very thing God wants. That's what God wants from every one of us. You know why? Because He knows if He gets your heart, He's got you. When I married my wife and she married me, we gave each other our hearts. We exchanged wedding bands to prove it and to show the world all of that. But she has my heart and I have her. We exchanged our hearts. I gave her me and she gave her me. Something like that. Anyway. She got it all either way. Look at it. Well, that's exactly right. What's hers is hers and what's mine is hers. Look at Acts 15. Acts chapter number 15. Let me hurry. Acts chapter 15. This is where we preachers start saying, okay, I'm going to close with this. We'll keep you for another 20, 30 minutes, but that keeps you awake, keeps you going, keeps you revived and ready to go, because we realize you're starting to get tired. We can see it in some of your faces. I ain't been doing this so long that I ain't noticed, I ain't learned a few things along the trail. Amen. Let me hurry. Chapter number 15 of Acts. Notice what the Bible says right here. I love this. Verse 3 and then verse 7 and 8. Look what he says. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. Notice this. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And of course, they're talking about the missionaries telling all this. Drop down to verse number 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And of course, that's where he's turned to the Gentiles and give the Gentiles the opportunity to be born again. Look at verse number 8 now. And God which knoweth the hearts. You see that? Bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us. He's talking about those that got saved prior to that. He said, God which knoweth the hearts. You see, we say this a lot. Well, God knows my heart. Yes, He does. He absolutely does. And you know what? He doesn't quit knowing it when it's not what it ought to be either. When it's gotten mad, when it's gotten aggravated, when it's gotten ill, when it's gotten prideful. Amen? When it's gotten things in it that shouldn't be there, God knows those things too. Oh, yes. He knows when we're mad. He knows when we're jealous. He knows when we want to do things our way and we just cut a fit. Amen? And sometimes we may not say it, but we just go... We might not open our mouth, but boy, it's going off in our hearts. And God already knows what's going on. He knows when we look at that other one besides our significant other. And we go, wow. And we take a second look. I'm not going to say we because I don't do that by the grace of God. I'm not saying I won't. I'm just saying I discipline myself with that. I'm saying we got to be real careful about it. Because of what gets in our heart. What did Jesus say? A man does that, he's already what? Committed adultery. Where? In his heart. When we look on a woman and lust after her, we look at women. I told every one of my boys, well, my older boys, the others, they don't quite understand yet. You be careful how you look at ladies. Be careful with your eyes. Be careful. Be real careful with your eyes, boys. Don't you ever let a girl see your eyes going places that they don't need to go. And I tell my girls, you watch them boys' eyes. And if their eyes start going places they shouldn't go, you let old dad know. Hey, I've had to deal with that in my church. I stood behind the pulpit and dealt with it. I didn't call names, but I made it very clear to the individual that I was speaking to. I said, I'll put you in a grave. You put your stinking hands on one of my girls. I've seen how you look at the girls in this church, and I promise you, I'll bury you out back. And then I'll go do my time in prison. If you think I'm playing about that, you try me and see. Well, you're a preacher. That's exactly right, and I've got an obligation to take care of my family. Sword. Hey, Peter carried a sword, by the way. Mine's a little quicker than his. If you got any questions about that, I do practice the Second Amendment. I promise you. Listen to me. Old guy came to me one time. I'm always reminded. My Uncle Irvin used to take karate. He was a black belt, third degree. 60-some years old, third degree black belt. Guy rolled up on him one night and he said, what are you going to do if somebody comes up and puts a pistol in your side? He said, sir, they didn't make just one. So I'll remind you, they didn't make just one. Amen. Listen to me. Our heart is what God wants. Amen. Number one is He wants it in salvation. You remember what He said in Romans chapter number 10? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Friend, listen to me. God is interested in our heart. God, what He's looking for, what He's coming after, what He's interested in today, friend, is your heart and my heart. He wants our heart. And it's with your heart. What did I tell you the heart was? It's the imagination of your thoughts. It's what's down inside of you. You see, I can stand up here and turn cartwheels. I can holler and scream and spit five rows back. I go over here and bash my head against the wall till the blood comes out. And that won't make one bit of difference to what's going on inside of you. It's going to take the Holy Ghost of God, amen, to get down inside of you and to grab you by the heart and to tremble your heart. I remember as a 14-year-old boy when God got a hold of my heart that night. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I was about two rows back. On the right hand, on this side of the church. I was standing there and they give an invitation. And the Holy Ghost of God came my way that night. And He said, you're dying and going to hell. You know you're going to hell. And I said, but I've made a profession. I made a profession as a young boy. I remember back, I stood there with that microphone in my mouth. And I told everybody that I was saved. He said, but you know you wasn't saved. You know you wasn't born again. You wasn't saved. You wasn't saved. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. And they give the invitation. They said, anybody here want prayer for going to hell? And I said, I'm going to hell. And for the first time in my life, in 14 years, I admitted I was a sinner. I'd made a profession as a young boy, 7, 8 years old. But for the first time in my life, listen to me, for the first time in my life, I trembled in the presence of God as a sinner. Now, I'd been under conviction in the preaching of the Word of God before, but that night was different. When God came my way, He grabbed me by the heart and He squeezed my heart and He said, boy, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. I thought I was going that night. I really did. It was that real to me. And I didn't move right then. And I remember I held on to that pew. Got that old white knuckle syndrome. Man, I held on for everything I was worth. And I stayed there till after the invitation was over. Everybody was starting. Everything was done. The last prayer was done. Everything was over. But God was still there working in my heart. God was still giving me that opportunity. And I remember I stepped out of that pew. And I could go left and go out of the church, or I could go right and go to the altar. Man come off the stage and he looked at me with tears running down his face. And he said, son, I'm going to pray for you. That's all he said. Son, I'm going to pray for you. And I broke, just like that. I had a choice. I could go left and go out of the church, or I could go right and go up there and get saved and get born again. And thank God I turned right and went to that altar and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior that night. Listen to me. You don't get saved unless the Spirit of God's dealing with you. You don't just come up and say, well, I believe I'll just go ahead and do that. Well, I've always believed. I believe I'll just go ahead and make a commitment to Him. No, it's not about that. It's when the Spirit of God comes to you and kneels you down and humbles you down and shows you that you're going to hell and you say, oh God, I don't have any hope in anything else. I've got to have Jesus. Give me Jesus or nothing.
Amen.
Boy, when we get there, that's when God's got us where we can get saved. Oh, yes. Now, your experience may not be just exactly like mine. That's fine if it ain't. That's all right. There's nothing that Bible says it's got to be just like mine. But I'm saying this tonight, this morning, friend. God wants your heart. It's with your heart you believe, not your mind. It's with your heart. God wants our heart in salvation. He wants our heart in service. In Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 1, He said, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. God not only wants our heart in salvation, but then He wants it in service. He wants you to put your heart into everything you do for Him. Preacher, you know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't have to preach and tell men to cut their hair if I can get their heart with Jesus. Huh? I don't have to tell ladies to put dresses on and to get a nice blouse that covers everything up if her heart is where it needs to be with Jesus. If I can get her heart, then her service will follow. Amen. If I can get people's hearts to go, listen, on visitation and getting out here knocking on doors and spreading the gospel and telling people about Jesus, if I can just get your heart to Jesus in service, friend, then I won't have to beg you to come out on visitation. I won't have to tell you and prod you and push you and prime you and pump you and try to keep you encouraged about it. No, if your sight is set on Jesus, if your heart is on Jesus for service, friend, I want you to know something. If He's got your heart, it'll just come naturally. Amen. He wants our heart for service. Amen. He wants our heart for salvation. Lastly, He wants our heart in sanctification. Now listen to me. You Baptists, don't let that word scare you. That is not a Pentecostal word, I promise you. That's just as much a Baptist word as it is anywhere else. But I'm not saying it's this way here, but a lot of places I go, when I use the word sanctification, they go, they pull back on me. But I'm going to give you this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. That means to pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Verse 15, don't miss this. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Do I need to read it again? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. He just got done telling you what sanctification is. Sanctification is nothing more than just being sold out for God. Sanctification means that you've been separated for the work of God. That's all it means. Don't mean you got to get up here and roll around and speak in tongues and hang from the chandeliers and do all that junk. That's all a bunch of wildfire anyway. That's a bunch of junk. Amen. I'm in a Baptist church, right? Okay. I just want to make sure. Just check it. Make sure I'm okay here. Amen. That's a bunch of junk straight out of the pits of hell. It's exactly what it is. You know, a lot of that stuff, I had a pastor down in Georgia one time. I'm not going to cuss, okay? I don't believe in cussing preachers. I'm going to tell you something he was saying. He said he was in a service one time. Somebody went speaking in tongues. And there was a linguist just happened to be there. Somebody studies language. And they recorded what that person said. And they said they went back and they studied it out and tried to find somewhere what they were saying. There was no interpreter. There never is, generally. And they're supposed to be, according to the scriptures. Anyhow, that person stood up and rattled off some of them. Not junk. I'm afraid to even imitate. I'm afraid I'll say something in some other language that I don't want to say. They said that they went and searched that out all over the world with all the language, and the closest they could get was some tribe, Indian tribe, or some tribe back up in Africa somewhere. They found a close language and translated what that person was saying. You know what that individual was saying in that language? Jesus Christ, now I'm not cussing, is a bastard. Now the word bastard's in the book of Hebrews, so don't you tell me I'm cussing. You bastards are not children. That's not a cuss word. That's an illegitimate child that does not know their mother or father. But that's what that individual was saying, was that Jesus Christ is a bastard. Now, children, don't you go out here telling people they're a bastard. Don't you better not do that. I'm saying this morning. That's what that junk will do. It's devilish. It's demonism. It's exactly what it is. Listen to me. But this word sanctification is a holy word. This word sanctification means that you and I have cut the lines off to the world, and we're sold out to God, and we're going to do what God wants us to do no matter what. He said, sanctify the Lord God where? In your hearts. God wants your heart and my heart in sanctification. He wants us. Now, I'm going to give you a little test here. I'm done. Don't raise your hand and don't speak out. But how many of you will be back tonight? How many of you will be back tonight? Serve at 6 o'clock, preacher? Every Wednesday night? I mean, not Wednesday, but every Sunday night? Okay. And Thursday night, midweek service? How many of you will be here Thursday night? How many of you be here ready to knock on doors Saturday morning or whenever your preacher gets ready to do something like that? How about when that tithe offering plate comes around and it's time to put that 10% in there? That's what the tithe is, by the way. By the way, if you're only putting 10%, you're still coming short because you're supposed to do the tithe and offering. When that plate comes around and you throw that dollar in there, if you ain't tithing, you ain't sanctified. If you don't show up here tonight, you ain't sanctified. Don't tell me how religious. You don't scare me. I ain't scared of one person in this building this morning. I promise you. I ain't scared of none of you. I'll stand flat-footed on that King James 1611 Bible and defend it to the day I die, even if it's today. I promise you. I'm telling you, dig dog for sure. You can say you're holy all you want to. But if you don't support this church, and if you don't support your man of God, and if you don't do what this Bible says and tithe and give that offering, you're coming short. Don't tell me how religious you are, because you ain't. I'm talking about sanctification. I know it's going to get a little tight right here, but that's all right. We'll get out in just a minute. I'm getting ready to get out of the boat right now. Don't worry. We're fixing to hit shore right now. We're right out. You can see the shore from here. This lady's done got mad. Look at her. She's getting up and leaving. She's kidding. She's coming up here to get my guns. No, I ain't worried about that. Listen to me. I'm talking about God wants our sanctification, our heart in sanctification. And listen, by the way, don't do what you do because this preacher says so. Don't do what you do just simply, I'm saying just simply, because of what that preacher says. You do what you do because you love Him. Amen. You do what you do because He has your heart. Amen. Does He have your heart this morning? Now listen to me. I've said some things, and I've not intentionally tried to make you mad. I don't do that. I don't try to say things just to see how agitated I can get people because it kills the service. But I'm not going to back off what needs to be said. God still told me to cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. And that's for every man of God that's ever, it's worth his salt. And I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a man of God that won't stand and tell the truth. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 21, I'm going to finish with this. In verse number 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. That word pondereth means to weigh or to prove. I guess you could probably say search. Is God searching your heart right now? Have you ever been born again? Say, well, preacher, I've joined the church. I didn't ask you that. Well, preacher, I've been baptized. I didn't ask you that, friend. have you been born again? Has there been a day, an hour? I'm not saying you have to know the day and the hour and the moment and the time and the year and all that. Those things are great if you do. I happen to remember it, but if you don't, that's fine. But I'm saying somewhere you can look back behind you from this moment back, you can look back in your life and you can say, right there is where God changed me. Right there is where He made me a new creature. Right there is where Jesus Christ moved into my life and made me a new, brand new creature. Can you do that this morning? Can you, do you know for certain that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, right this very moment, if Jesus were to descend or to call us back up out of this place, if the rapture were to take place before this service ends this morning, if you were to drop dead of a heart attack or something happened to you, I mean, you could drop dead that quick. I could drop dead before I get in this parking lot out here this afternoon. Do you know where you're going to be? Do you know that there's been a place somewhere where you repented of your sin and you cried out to Jesus and you asked Him to save you? And not only that, He saved you. You can cry all you want to, but if He ain't dealing with you, you ain't going to get saved. Let's all stand this morning.